Hello. Thank you for joining me on another episode of In Depth. This is Jason Futch, and I'm happy to have you along as I interview Stephanie Warden on today's episode. Now, Stephanie Warden is the mother of Camry Mitchell, who disappeared in 2012 in Suwanee County, Florida. And she had disappeared under very suspicious circumstances. Just hours prior to her disappearance, a man by the name of Andrello Witcher, a registered sex offender, had broken into Camry's father's house in Wellburn, Florida, and had stolen pills. Now, there's a twist to that story, and I'll allow Stephanie to explain it a little more in today's interview. But from what I gathered in this interview was that Camry was in a lot of trouble. She was dealing with some demons. And unfortunately, when you deal with specific demons, sometimes they can haunt you for a very long time, maybe your entire life. And I wanted to make sure that everything was discussed with Stephanie. So that way Stephanie was able to allow her thoughts to flow freely in today's episode, because in today's world, when news media sticks a mic in front of somebody's face, a victim's family face, they give them 40 minutes and then they promise them, oh, you'll be on the news for the whole segment, blah, blah, blah. But then that 40-minute interview suddenly becomes a 3-minute snippet on the local news station. With this episode, and with all other in-depth episodes that include an interview with the victim's family, I give them the floor. And I wanted to make sure that Stephanie had the floor in today's interview. And she talked a lot about the situation with Camry, what happened prior to her disappearance, what happened after, and her suspicions on Andrello Witcher. Now, a little more about Andrello, too, is that he is a registered sex offender and is suspected of another disappearance in Alachua County, Florida, involving the disappearance of Heather McCrossin of Alachua County in 2007. And if you have not listened to the episode of True Cold Case Files that goes with today's episode of In Depth, I encourage you to listen to that before you listen to this interview, because it'll all make sense in the end. Just make sure you listen to that. You'll learn more about Andrello Witcher, what happened in that case, and also what was the end result for Mr. Witcher, which you'll learn also as well in this case with Stephanie, this interview with Stephanie. So with that being said, I want to once again thank Stephanie for allowing me to interview her. I believe this was her first podcast interview, and one of the first times she's been able to sit down and have a full discussion about this case. So I am so pleased to have her on, and also hoping, crossing fingers, that there is a good resolution. However, it gets dimmer and dimmer with each passing year, but I've invited her to come back on should there be any more updates to this case. Before I go ahead and play this interview, I want to share with you our sponsor, CrimeWatchers.net, in pursuit of the missing, the unidentified, and justice. CrimeWatchers.net is a program on the internet. It's a forum board, if you will, where you can discuss cold cases from across the country and around the world, talking about the missing, the murdered, the unidentified. Every case that I feature on True Cold Case Files is on CrimeWatchers.net. So check it out, sign up, log into Crime Watchers, create an account, it's free, and join in on the discussions that are on there. There's so many discussions right now, I'm sure you won't have a problem finding a case to talk about. That's CrimeWatchers.net. Here's today's interview with Stephanie Warden.
Thank you.
In 2011, the North Florida region experienced a shock to their senses when 23-year-old Camry Mitchell disappeared. Before she disappeared, she was living in Welburn with her father and had spent time between Welburn and Lake City, among other places. The morning she disappeared, a man named Andrello Witcher had abruptly stopped by the home in Welburn and threatened Camry and her father while brandishing a firearm and stealing prescription medication. Later that day, Camry would disappear, never to be seen or heard from again. Now, as we delve into this case, Stephanie Warden, Camry's mother, has joined me on this episode of In Depth to talk about Camry's life and everything that has happened during this investigation from the start up to now. Stephanie, I want to thank you for joining me on this episode of In Depth.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, what was life like growing up for Camry? Where did she go to school? What kind of circles did she hang out with?
Well, we're from Wichita, Kansas, and we moved here in 2002. Mm-hmm. She was into sports, had a good group of friends, good family relationship. Camry had just slipped into a point where she had slipped into dealing with pain, slipped into an issue with pain pills, which led to all of this.
So she was having some issues with prescription medication. She may have fallen into some trouble, right?
Well, yes. And it's just the gentleman, Andrello Witcher, was someone that would put the bill for the pain pills per se. He was and then, you know, would split them. You know, this is just what they did. That was the game they played. Mm-hmm. And he would sell them, and then she would have hers to. She just slipped into a bad spot to be got caught up with him, and it ended up to what it ended up as.
So how did she meet Andrello Witcher, and how long did they know each other for?
I'm not quite sure when she met him, how she met him, and they probably knew each other from probably less than a year.
Wow.
That I was aware of.
Oh, wow. And at this time frame, prior to her disappearance, was she employed or was she working somewhere?
No, not at the time, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when was the last time you got to see her?
It was before July 4th.
Mm.
So, because, you know, I live in Ocala, and she lived in the Lake City area, and I just didn't make it up there a lot at that time.
Sure, but was she coming down frequently in Ocala?
No. Before she went missing, she was wanting to come my way, but she hadn't been this way in probably at least a month, mm-hmm. if not longer, probably two. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm assuming she may have had connections down in the Ocala area, like friends and people she may have hung out with while she was down there.
To my knowledge, she didn't have a lot of friends down here.
Mm-hmm.
Really didn't have any. I mean, she had come and stayed with me for a little bit at one point in time, but would go back and forth to Lake City because her daughter was up there, mm-hmm. and you know, at that time she was working at a gas station. So, you know, she was doing that.
Okay.
I tried to get her to get a job down here, but I couldn't get her motivated to do that at the time.
Oh. So walk me through this whole situation. And I know, you know, what I presented to listeners here just a minute ago, we were talking about the circumstances behind her disappearance. So Andrello Witcher, if I'm understanding this right, he went to the house that Camry and her father were staying at, and he essentially robbed them?
Well, he was taking back what they had previously taken from him is what was going on.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, and I didn't find out about this for days after it actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they had visited his house and took something from him, and he was coming back to retrieve.
Oh, so was it pills?
Yeah.
And
because he took the whole thing was, is he took more than what he was supposed to. So she was taking back what was hers, and he came back to get what she had took.
Ah, okay. And did she?
My daughter had slipped off into a bad way, and 2 days before all of this happened, she was in jail for a violation of probation.
Oh.
And and there's another twist and turn to the story, which I might tell you on the side, and maybe we can add it in. But
sure.
He had called me, and this gentleman did that she, you know, would stay with off and on, mm-hmm. and he told me that I needed to get ready to move her back to Ocala, that she was in jail, wanting to get out of jail, and he wasn't going to let her stay there anymore because she had sticky fingers.
Wow.
And I told the guy, I said, look, I said, no, don't go get her out of jail. Just leave her there. I said, I'm going to put my foot down and I'm going to get her some assistance, yeah. some help with this. And
sure.
I said, just leave her in there. I said, because I know she's safe.
Yep.
She's got food. She's mm-hmm. got a place to stay. And I don't have to worry about her because
right.
I'd had enough. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I'd had enough. I've given her the opportunity to take care of things like she was supposed to,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, let's snap out of this and move on.
Yeah. And
and then 2 days after that, I told the guy that. 2 days after that, she's calling me. She's out of jail.
So how did she post bond or something like that?
Him and Andrella Witcher went and got her out of jail.
Oh, wow.
So that she could go to the doctor and get the prescription.
Oh, man.
Do you follow the trail here now?
Yeah, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's really unfortunate because, you know, and you know, just hearing that whole situation, Camry would have been better off in jail. And I don't mean that in a rude way.
No.
I mean that in a very helpful way because, you know, in the past,
exactly.
people will leave their loved ones in jail because they know at least in jail they'll get, you know, three hots and a cot, as they say.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, there's also drug prevention treatment plans. Like they have groups in jail and prison too, where they'll like pretty much try to build some kind of goal of staying off these hard drugs like heroin, pills, crack, stuff like that. And I think it would have definitely benefited Camry. And I wish there was a way where in a situation like that, bond would not be an option, especially if loved ones refuse to offer bond. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I never called and spoke with anybody. I had just told that certain gentleman, don't leave her there. Don't worry about it. I'm going to write her a letter and tell her what's going on.
Yeah.
And my letter never even reached her.
Oh, wow.
Because she had gotten out that quick. So, wow. And she called me, had texted me that morning that she'd gotten out. And out of her father's, the service is bad. I'm sure you're familiar with all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Just out in the country and in the boonies. And and so she could never call me. She would text me.
Yeah.
And so I never did get to speak with her. I never did get to talk to her personally. It was basically through text. And yeah. And she said that she was going to pack her stuff up because she's supposed to get her stuff together. I'm sorry about that.
Oh,
and that she was going to get her life together and it'd be better. And that was that.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those heartbreaking things that, you know, where they want to get that help, where they want to, you know, they want to be able to better themselves, like someone, especially in Camry's situation, and unfortunately, before they can make any of these changes, boom, the unfortunate parts happen. The repercussions happen, if you will. Pardon the term there. And so, after all this, what happened after they after she was reported missing? I heard something about the car being, I guess their car had been found?
Yeah, well, it took me about a week, because I hadn't heard from her, and I called and spoke with her brother and asked, you know, would you go by your dad's house and see if she's there?
Mm-hmm.
Because she wasn't responding to any of my messages, you know? I lived in Ocala. You know, they lived within relative decent, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And I could never get anything out of anybody. And then that was Memorial Day weekend that I finally spoke with her sister. And I said, look, I said, you need to talk to your dad and find out, you know, what all's going on. And I had found out about what had happened with Angelo. Mm-hmm. And I said, you need to tell him to file a missing persons report. Mm-hmm. I said, because something's wrong. You know, it's been a week. We haven't heard from her. We don't know where she's at. And, you know, there. Mm-hmm. And I had him do it because he was the last one to see her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And then, you know, they were supposed to be looking for her up there, you know, because they lived there. They, you know, he was in the same realm as she was, per se. Mm-hmm. You know, he would know where to look for her. I would have no idea where to even start. But I came up there after Labor Day. Mm-hmm. I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday. And I had been posting messages on Facebook about, you know, she was missing. Mm-hmm. I was coming up because I had gotten done with, you know, working and everything. And I took some time off and I came up because I was going to look for her.
Yeah.
And the night that I got there, I had got a message from somebody on Facebook saying that they might know where her car is. And they said where they was and immediately went. That's when we found her car.
Wow. And when they found the car, there was like no signs of foul play or anything in there?
Well, the funny thing about it was, is it was in some water from that tropical storm Debbie. It was on a road that was flooded.
Oh, I remember that.
It was all the way up to the door on this road. Everything was in there. Her pills, her phone.
Wow.
Everything that you're not going to leave behind. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Interesting.
And
And I wonder too, like, if someone was dumped, and once again, pardon the expression that I'm about to use here, but if someone was to dump a vehicle like that, wouldn't you think they would also, especially if they were looking for pills or something like that, you would think that they would also take the pills and the purse and all that stuff because there might be some value to it.
Right.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. It makes me wonder, who could have left it there? Like, if it was Andrello, why didn't he take the pills?
Right, right. You know, that's another thing. I don't know exactly what pills were there, whether they were the ones that he would originally take to begin with, or whether he had taken them that night. Mm-hmm. So she didn't have them, but she just had the other ones, you know, and when I called the police and they finally made it there that night, and they towed the car out of the water, they opened the trunk to see if she was in there because she wasn't in the inside.
Right.
And then they told me that they weren't going to take it in because there were no signs of foul play.
Really?
And I told the guy, I said, you're kidding me, correct? I said, my daughter's been missing. This is her car and all of her stuff is in here. And this doesn't seem to be foul play to you. So I had to pay to have her car towed to her dad's house that night.
Oh, man.
At like 3:00 in the morning. Okay. The next morning, they got to me because they came to my daughter's house in Lake City to get her phone because I had kept her phone.
Sure.
To get her phone. And then the guy said, well, we'll assembly a party tomorrow to start looking for her. Well, when I asked the gentleman the next morning when this was going to take place, they said they weren't going to because she was an adult and she could be missing.
Wow. And
I said, you're kidding me, correct? And then they went to her dad's house and retrieved her car.
Wow.
So, you know, they're telling me that they're not going to look for her because she's an adult. I said, okay, well, then I will. And we immediately went down to where we found her car. And started looking in the water, started looking around, you know. What if she would have gotten out of a car and tripped and fallen? We weren't trying not to think the worst, but thinking maybe, you know, she got caught in the water.
Sure.
You know, it was dark outside.
Sure.
You know, maybe she got off track, whatever. Okay. And then they finally came out later that day, I mean, that we were disturbing the crime scene which, you know, to originally there was no crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was very hard to maneuver through all of this, and
Wow.
So, and that's what I had to deal with.
And that's the sad part about law enforcement and reporting adults missing, is that they don't take adult missing persons cases seriously. And I can refer back to an interview I did last season with Rosemary Nora Southward. Her brother James went missing in 1974 from San Francisco. He had flown to Miami, Florida, and he had $10,000 in his pocket. His goal was to pick up a hefty sum of Colombian marijuana, which was a big thing back then. And he never was heard from again after, you know, a postcard came to the family. It was signed out from Inglis, Florida. It's in Citrus County. And so they were wondering, like, how do we go about this? How do we go about this? And when they finally reported James missing, San Francisco PD didn't want really much to do with it. Fairfield Police didn't want to do anything about it because he was an adult. He could make his own decisions. He could make his own choices. But here's the thing. If there's unusual activity happening, there should be a time to start taking things seriously. And the sad part about that case is that they found his remains in 1976, and he was not identified until 2011.
What?
And that was, and it's like a lot of these answers could have been, or a lot of these questions could have been answered had law enforcement taken adult missing persons cases much more seriously. Like, I get it. If there's a child going missing, absolutely straightforward. We should treat adults the same as we treat children when it comes to missing persons cases.
Well, because it is somebody's child. It's a grown child.
Yep. I agree. I completely agree. But yeah, getting back to this case, you guys did your own searching. Now, how many people were involved trying to locate Camry?
That day, we had an excellent group of people together. It was me and my daughter, our friends from Sunny's, where we worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Good place, where my daughter worked in the previous. And Camry had worked there as well. And just friends, because, you know, she had been there since 2002 in that area, and had, you know, we had quite a few friends
mm-hmm.
That had came and helped us.
I'm glad, because I remember, like I said, I remember that case because I remember the community got so involved. I think the community got way more involved than law enforcement did. And I know once in a while, Suwannee County Sheriff's Office will, you know, do a name drop just to, you know, remind the folks that they're working on this case, you know, quote unquote. But I just remember the outpouring of community that day. Made me proud to be from that area, because I'm from Live Oak, and I lived in Lake City for a great number of years. In fact, I have some political stuff over there, so it's crazy. But I grew up in Live Oak, lived in Lake City for X number of years, and I just remember that. It really significant. Just made me proud to be from that area, because everyone, when their own is gone, or like when someone is hurt, everyone is out there. Like recently with the Fresina situation, everyone came out of the woodwork trying to locate her. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to the hometown, because you guys, are great. And I just love that we all look out for each other. So with that being said, am I right to understand that Andrella Witcher was a sex offender?
Yes.
So what's the story behind that? You wouldn't happen to know, would you?
I don't know the whole story behind that. I know that they were teenage girls. You know, typical, something that, you know, typically happens. Mm-hmm. You know, that not totally you know, a child, just, you know, probably sure. within their teens, you know, sure. under the age of 18. So,
so he was having having non-consensual sex with a minor that was maybe 16.
Probably, yes.
Okay, yeah, and for those of you who are listening, Florida does have strict laws on minor adult relationships. It's called the Romeo and Juliet Law. Look it up if you're interested in wondering what that's about. And
that's another thing with that situation. Him being a sex offender, where he was staying at in Suwanee County with his girlfriend at the time that, but this all happened. Mm-hmm. He was an unregistered sex offender staying there,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't get him for that at all.
Wow. So he failed to register.
Yes, he claimed that he was living at his mother's, although he was staying at this address.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. You know, he got 5 years for the situation with Camry, you know, coming to the house that night because the police were there. They came and they took a report from her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so that was all, you know, on the record. And then, you know, for her to go missing a week later and a missing persons report be filed, you know, yeah, you're correct. They didn't do much on that note. And then she could just be missing.
Right.
You know, so he didn't even get enough time that he should have gotten because he was also a felon in possession of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get charged with that.
Wow.
They just pretty much held him with the burglary to keep him in jail while they investigated this.
So basically they essentially it was like a bullshit version of a plea deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I get a little frank with my language on my show too.
That's okay.
So.
That's okay.
But in fact, when we do this episode on Camry and Tiffany, there's going to be a lot of F and S bombs flying all over the place. So
yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good. But anyways, so yet while this is all going on, he's also connected to another cold case down in Micanopy, right?
Gainesville.
Or Gainesville. Right. That was where Heather McCrossin worked, was Micanopy down at We Bear All.
Cafe Risque.
Okay. That's yes. Right. Okay.
We Bear All is what it says on the billboards. You're correct.
Yeah. Not that I know that from personal experience, but I hear correct. They make a damn good steak over there. But
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways. So he was connected to the Heather McCrossin case out of Gainesville.
Yes.
So what was his connection to that?
Well, he was one of the last people to see Heather McCrossin.
Oh.
But she's never been found either.
Wow.
And she was missing, I can't even remember, like 5 years before Camry mm-hmm. went missing.
I think it was like 2007, 2008, something around that time.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. Yeah. And the cold case detective that I was telling you about mm-hmm. is the one that brought that to my attention because he called me talking about Camry.
Oh, wow.
And them being interested in Andrello. And they went and the day or a couple days before he was getting out of prison on Camry's case, they charged him with the Heather McCrossin. And so he didn't even, you know, get out of prison. He went straight from prison to Alachua County where he sat until they tried him. Beginning of this year.
Yeah, and then they found him guilty of her disappearance, basically, or her murder.
Yes.
De facto yes. murder, yeah. Okay, because, yeah, we were talking about earlier, in Florida, you could essentially be tried for murder without a body. So, and how long was the sentence on that, do you know? Like, how long he's been sentenced
to prison? How long did he get sentenced?
Yeah.
He got 30 years.
30 years. That's not enough. Yes. That's just not enough. Like, why?
I loved every minute of it. I'm sorry, I loved every minute of it. And Cass Castillo was awesome.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, I'm
him and his assistant was awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that he's serving justice. But you know, I just wish that it could have been longer. You know, I'm one of those people that just wants to see justice, just you know, hardcore. You know.
Well, he is almost, I think he's almost 40, so it's pretty much, he'll be 70-something before he gets out.
I guess it is a life sentence then.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully.
And plus he's been in for the last, he's been in since 2012.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So I really,
I mean, it's not bringing my daughter home.
No.
Or her Heather home, but in essence, he's not walking the streets either.
Right. He can't hurt anybody else.
Right.
And that is what gives me comfort in this case is that I personally think Andrello was responsible for this case, based on the situation that I understand. I think personally he may have had something to do with Camry's disappearance. In fact, he obviously had something to do with McCrossin's case because he's in prison for mm-hmm. that. But, you know,
well, there's no way to sugarcoat this, and there's no right. way to make it not what it is.
Right, because I can sit down with you and I could be just like those Dateline reporters and say, "Well, you know, let's try to make her sound, you know, perfect, the perfect person." But in real reality, that's just not the way it is.
No. No. You know, she was struggling, and, you know, it had reached the point I was tired. I was tired of it.
Sure.
And nothing was happening, so I made it happen.
Sure.
Was trying to make it happen, you know. Putting that out there, I was putting my foot down, and I didn't get very far.
Yeah. Oh, you're good. Well, I mean, it's just that I hope that other like families, like other mothers, fathers, you name it. I hope they can take a lesson from you because that's how it's supposed to be. You know, we can't necessarily. Yeah. Sugarcoat situations like this. We just have to understand the facts are the facts and we have to live with them, or if we don't live with them, it's just going to eat you up for the rest of your life. So
exactly.
So what are the current updates on this case? Has there been any new leads, anything that might perhaps garner some hope that Camry might still be out there?
No. Nothing. There's nothing. And you know, I used to call Suwannee County every day, and I got to the point where I just got tired of hearing, "There's nothing new, nothing new." So no, nothing new. And he's not talking, and nobody else is talking, and yeah.
So Who is handling the Suwannee County case? Like, who was handling it? Which officer?
I would speak to the sheriff himself.
Mr. Cameron. Sheriff Cameron, yeah. I know him really well.
Yeah. And I would talk to the detectives at the time. I never spoke with Chris Fry. He wouldn't talk to me.
Yeah.
It was the other detective.
Chris Lee? Was it Lee?
Tommy Roper was one of them, and then there was another one, but it's been so long. And then, you know, I would deal with FDLE. I talked to Jennifer Wolf a lot.
Okay, I know Jennifer Wolf, yeah.
Yeah, I talked to her a lot. When it went into all of the dealings with Heather, I would speak to Kevin Allen, which is a cold case detective out of Gainesville.
Mm.
I quit talking to Suwannee County.
And he's handling, he's also handling the Tiffany Sessions case too, right?
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So has he ever discussed with you about her case or anything?
He's told me the basics, but nothing more than that.
Okay.
You know.
Sure.
And I think to myself, he introduced me to her mom. And I'm thinking 25 years at the time. That's when I met her. It was 25 years. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, how
yeah.
do you...
And I just remember that case was like well talked about for many years. I'm sure when you were in Kansas, y'all probably heard about her case.
No.
Oh no.
No. I knew little about missing people until my daughter went missing, and then you never realize how many people are actually missing in this world.
And it's really insane because see, like my exposure to missing persons was when I was a young kid. Walmart would have the posters out, the big old "Have You Seen Me?"
Yeah, and the milk cartons, but it still doesn't sink in.
Right. Yeah, and it didn't sink in for me as a reality until years later when I was going to Florida Gateway College. Well, when I was going there, it was Lake City Community College, and we were. I was in the criminal justice class, and I was introduced to the Lake City John Doe case. And what I would do is I would actively search missing persons cases to cross-reference the John Doe case. And I just could not believe how many missing adults, missing children, missing infants even are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And now with NAMIS, the National Missing and Unidentified Persons yep. System, it's practically an online morgue. because it's a morbid way of saying it, because when I take a look at NAMIS, they used to be so restrictive about what they posted, but now when I do research on specific cases, I am exposed to post-mortem photographs, skeletal remains. So let me ask you this, Stephanie, and hopefully this isn't too forward or personal, but have you done that yet? Like, have you cross-referenced Camry's cases with any unidentified cases on NAMIS?
I personally have not, but every time I have heard of skeletal remains found, I do check with Kevin Allen and find out whether they're going to send her up to be compared with that.
Sure.
I do the exact. Mm-hmm. So no, but he would do that himself as well.
Yeah.
He pretty much covered that area. I never really cross-referenced anything.
Okay.
No.
Okay. And have you spoken to Sheriff St. John since he came into office?
I have not.
Okay.
I have wanted to, but, you know, like I said, I've been dealing with Detective Allen because of the big case and everything with Andrella Witcher that I just really haven't spoke a lot with Suwanee County.
Okay.
Well,
I'm glad that, yeah.
And I deal with FBLE, Jennifer Wolf there again, and, you know, they pretty much, you know, check in from time to time with them themselves.
Well, I'm glad that they do that for you. That's really cool because, you know, sometimes, especially with cases that get long forgotten, they just sit on a shelf mm-hmm. idle. And I'm just glad that no one's forgot that case. And I'll tell you, too, if I'm going back to Lake City in January, and I could guarantee you right now, everyone still remembers this case fresh, like it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
So to close this out, what would you like Camry's legacy to be? What should she be remembered for?
Well, she was a likable girl. She had a daughter. She was a good mother. You know, some things happened with that area that I just want her to be remembered. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Say what? Let it be a light, you know, for other people that have kids and maybe in the same situation. You know, don't give up on them and get them help before you know, it goes too far. So the sooner the better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, and I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Camry will be remembered as a good friend, good daughter. Good mother. I mean, you know, bad things happen to good people, and I just hope that there are some resolutions in her case, especially hopefully soon. It's just,
I do too.
and it's just a matter of time, because I mean, the more publicity a case like this gets, someone's bound to crack under pressure, especially like with the Jacob Wetterling situation. I mean, that guy had so much guilt for many years, and he finally cracked after, you know, so much publicity there. And, yeah, I just hope that her case is solved, that all your questions will be answered, and that at some point, and at some point take her home so she can rest in peace. Well, Stephanie, that about wraps it up for me here. I wanted to thank you for accepting my invitation and joining me on this episode. We're looking forward to covering her case on True Cold Case Files. And we want to stress, too, that if anyone has any information, you should contact the Suwannee County Sheriff's Office at 386-362-2222. And you can also contact the FDLE Missing Persons Clearinghouse at 1-888-FL-MISSING. That's 1-888-FL-MISSING. Thank you so much for joining me, Stephanie, and that'll do
thank it. Thank you for having an interest in everything and putting the stories out there as well. Thank you for what you do.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. And with that being said, I'm Jason Futch with another episode of In Depth. It's been a pleasure. So we'll see you on the next episode.